Its current rating is at a 144, which, according to the scale, translates as fasten your seatbelt. So go take a look at that. And what it does is it puts in a number of different categories that they believe signal movement towards end times. So it's all there for you. Here's some of the stories of the day. Very strange story out of Russia. As you know, we have been following the very peculiar deaths of microbiologists and some scientists around this planet for the past year and a half now with Stephen Quayle. Listen to this one. Investigators in Russia are checking whether the mass outbreak of hepatitis A in a region near Moscow could be linked to bioweapons. At the moment, 363 people are in a hospital, and some newspapers have linked the outbreak to the recent murder of Russia's leading specialist in bioweapons. The outbreak began at the end of May in a region and has now reached the neighboring region of Smolensk. It was initially blamed on a local soft drink manufacturer whose products were found to be contaminated with the E. coli bacteria. But the investigation is still considering other possibilities, including the deliberate use of bioweapons. Some sources link the murder of Antimicrobe Therapy Institute director Leonid Strazunsky, who specialized in creating antibiotic-resistant bioweapons, to possibly this hepatitis outbreak. He was found dead in his hotel room in Moscow. He had been hit on the head with a champagne bottle, and some of his possessions were missing. The initial suspicion was that he had been killed during a botched robbery. Now investigators are looking at a possible connection between his murder and this hepatitis outbreak there. Strange story. The FBI missed at least five chances in the months before 9/11 to find two hijackers as they prepared for the attacks and they settled in San Diego. This according to the Justice Department Inspector General, who said this in a report made public on Thursday after it was being kept secret for a year. Investigators were stymied by bureaucratic obstacles, communication breakdowns, and a lack of urgency, according to the report. The blistering findings mirror those of the independent 9/11 Commission last summer and a joint congressional inquiry in 2002, but they also provide significant new details about the many bureaucratic breakdowns that plague the FBI before the attacks and are likely to fuel questions about the Bureau's efforts to remake itself. The 9/11 Commission had access to an earlier version of the Inspector General study and incorporated parts of those findings in its final report. In the case of the San Diego hijackers, for instance, the report disclosed that an FBI agent assigned to the CIA wanted to pass on information to the FBI about the two men in early 2000, 19 months before the attacks. But apparently he was blocked by a CIA supervisor, and then he did not aggressively follow up. The set the stage for a series of bungled opportunities in an episode that many officials now regard as the best chance to have detected or disrupted the 9/11 plot. President Bush today, by the way, has called on Congress to reauthorize the 16 provisions of the USA Patriot Act that are slated to expire at the end of the year, calling them practical, important, and constitutional. He says Congress needs to renew them all this time. Bush said the act passed 6 weeks after 9/11 closed dangerous gaps in America's law enforcement and intelligence capabilities. He said that authorities have used the act to bring terrorism charges against 400 people, with more than half of those charges leading to convictions. Well, I've got my own thoughts on the Patriot Act, and quite frankly, I think it continues to erode our constitutional rights. And I'm not so sure we need that in order to do a good job to battle terrorism. And a fictional drama, a crime drama, based on the premise that the Bush administration ordered the 9/11 attacks on the World Trade Center and Washington, aired this week on German state television, prompting the Green Party there, the chairman, to call for an investigation. He says, "I think this is absolutely nothing of the conspiracy theory that has hawked all over the place," and they deny it. According to the plot, which is seen by approximately 7 million Germans, there was a dead man involved in this particular drama. It's a drama. And he had been trained to be one of the 9/11 pilots, but he was left behind, only to be tracked down and killed by the CIA or FBI assassins. And the thing goes on, this program goes on to talk about the different tie-ins and things like that. And the German government is very upset about it, but this program got on the air anyway. Thursday, next week, we will have our 9/11 roundtable discussion, where you will hear various theories about what happened on that day and what has been going on subsequently. That'll be Thursday next week. Four heavy hitter guests, two pro, two con, the various subject matter at hand. A Texas couple, by the way, is fighting to regain custody of their 12-year-old cancer-stricken daughter after the state of Texas seized the girl, claiming her parents have not done enough to treat her. A judge has postponed until Friday a ruling on whether or not doctors can treat Katie Wernicke against her parents' wishes. Katie's parents say their daughter's Hodgkin's disease is in remission and that she doesn't need radiation treatment after undergoing a round of chemotherapy. The father is worried that more treatment will have harmful long-term effects on his daughter and wants an opinion from doctors outside of a children's hospital in Corpus Christi. But the Texas Child Protective Services believes the recommendations of doctors at the hospital should overrule the parents, claiming the parents are being medically neglectful. This is an incredible story, and it's a tough story. It's a tough story because everybody wants this 12-year-old cancer-stricken girl to get better. The question is how? Do the parents truly have the right to decide how they want their daughter treated? Or does the state have the ability to step in and force the parents to do something they don't want to do? Quite frankly, I opt for the parents. I think it's the parents' rights to determine what to do. I do not like the fact that the state would step in this particular case, take the child away from the parents, and try to dictate then radiation treatment. I think it's wrong. The use, by the way, of electronic devices such as cell phones, including hands-free cell phones, apparently precipitated many crashes and near misses, according to a report. Using a cell phone behind the wheel is a key cause of traffic accidents, and hands-free devices provide little safety, according to the Detroit News, citing federal officials. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration researchers said devices like headsets or voice-activated dialing led to longer dialing times than for handheld phones. They said these delays offset the potential benefit of keeping both hands on the wheel. The research adds to a growing body of studies that suggest hands-free cell phone systems do not deliver the safety benefits that automakers and legislators had thought. In Massachusetts, Governor Mitt Romney, by the way, has declared a state of emergency there because of the red tide bloom off the coast of Massachusetts, a move that allows the state to seek federal disaster aid for the shellfish industry. Now, red tide happens to be an algae that contaminates shellfish and can be dangerous to humans who eat the shellfish. It does not pose a risk to people who eat lobsters or finned fish, nor swimmers. Scallops also are not affected because people don't eat the part that absorbs the poison. The red tide that has advanced southward from Maine over the past 2 months is the worst in New England since 1972, and this apparently is the first time Massachusetts has declared a state of emergency because of red tide. I don't think I'd eat any of that shellfish up that way. NASA's Deep Impact Probe, by the way, is scheduled to lop a big copper bullet into a comet on July 4th to look into the heart of this and see if they can determine the formation of our solar system. The impact is expected at 1:52 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Independence Day. Now, later on that day, we'll have a live program on July 4th for you, and we'll talk a lot about the Deep Impact Probe. We'll even talk about whether it worked or not. I think Richard C. Hoagland's going to make himself available to be on that program that day. About a day, by the way, before the collision, the deep impact craft will send this 317-pound copper-fortified impactor toward Comet Tempel 1, which will be about 83 million miles from Earth. The impactor will steer itself toward the comet, and the deep impact craft will then pass about 310 miles away from it and watch the smash-up, and we'll be able to see pictures of that, too. I hope that they get the focus problem worked out, though. They've been working on that for the past several months. An exorcist has been called in after a ceiling collapsed and landed on the head of Romania's agriculture minister. A priest was called in after a spate of bizarre accidents convinced civil servants that their headquarters was haunted. Officials complained of burst water pipes, slamming doors, and mysterious phone calls, as well as the ceiling that fell on the minister. In the most recent incident, a wall collapsed on an advisor, and they said, you know what, it's time to bring in a priest to get rid of these evil spirits, so they're trying to exorcise that building. And by the way, if you go to Hot Stories on the coasttocoastam.com website, take a look at the story about Christ on a crisp. A Florida woman has discovered the image of Jesus on a potato chip. She doesn't know what to do about it. She said she was about ready to bite into the sour cream and onion potato chip as she watched television. She spotted the image. Actually, I looked at the picture that you can see on the coasttocoastam.com website. It is kind of uncanny, to tell you the truth. Go take a look at it. 6 months ago, by the way, another Florida woman discovered the image of the Virgin Mary on her toasted cheese sandwich. She sold it on eBay for $27,000. I'll be back in a moment. We'll take your calls. Here are the phone numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wildcard line, ready to go, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, welcome back to Open Lines. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. The grief, by the way, continues for Prophet Yahweh. A couple nights ago, you heard that somebody had pledged to him $750,000 to help build some kind of meeting site, landing pad for UFOs that the prophet says he can summon down. He says that the guy gave him a check for $4,800 as a deposit. Well, the prophet went rushing to the bank, and apparently it was written on some kind of closed account. And there is no money there. To the phones we go, west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Going.
Yeah, good. Where are you calling from?
Oh, Kalispell, Montana.
Welcome to the show. What's up?
Yeah. Hey, about this Prophet Yahweh guy.
Yeah.
I sent him a letter and explained some things that I have knowledge of. I've been studying spiritual things for about 40 years. And the guy was arrogant, rude, self-righteous, and basically he said that I needed to become a student of his because only his knowledge is the truth and everybody else can go fly a kite.
He didn't say thank you? Nothing like that, huh?
No, he didn't even read it.
Oh, my.
We got into kind of a pissing contest, and I've reviewed most of his videos, and my take on it, especially the black object, looks like a group of Mylar balloons that have been weighted down and dropped from an airplane, falling and tumbling, because if you notice how it tumbles, it kind of tumbles with the currents of the wind.
There have been some internet reports that he has a friend out there somewhere that he radio contacts, and that this friend then lets up some balloons. That's a possibility.
Well, you know, look, as far as the guests that are coming on later this evening, it's going to be really interesting, but my theory is with all of the concepts on religion and all of the various spiritual books that have been written over time, okay, historically.
Yes.
Okay, really, no one really knows who the Creator is. Everybody has theories based on stories.
Based on faith, based on stories. You're right.
Right. Okay, so what if, why is it that all the prophecies in the Bible, like the Mark of the Beast and all this stuff, is supposed to become, why is it manifesting in our reality? To me, it sounds like there's just forces that are using these stories and creating this technology to make these things become real. And for the reasons, we'd have to have a two-hour show about that. But
you're absolutely right. Stick around, though, for the rapture debate, because that's some of the things we'll be talking about, because a lot of this is interpretation, who wrote what, who created what story. And as you well know, there are three different theories about the rapture. We'll talk about that, too, next hour. It is a very exciting and very important subject matter because, quite frankly, end times, if it's real, affects all of us. Wild Card Line, welcome to the show. It's your turn. Hi.
Hi, George. This is Julie.
Julie.
I'm calling from Virginia right now. I'm a truck driver.
Do you drive all by yourself?
Oh, no. I drive team with my fiance.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I got some news for you. It's not really great news, but I thought maybe you'd like to have an update. I guess a few days in Arkansas, a guy was driving his truck with a tanker, and his truck all disappeared.
Oh,
and also his
no.
load. The truck itself actually reappeared. They found the truck. But his load was gone, and so was he. And they don't know; they haven't seen hide nor hair of him.
Well, what was he hauling? Fuel? What was he hauling, Julie?
He was hauling what's called urea fertilizer.
Oh my God! That, of course, is used to make bombs.
Yes, about 50-something thousand pounds of it.
Okay, now you're saying they found him. Were they found him alive or dead?
They haven't found him.
Oh, they have not found him.
No, they don't know where he's at. His wife would like to know where he's at.
All right, but you said they found the tanker and it was empty.
Yes, they found the truck and the tanker, and it was empty. Because that type of fertilizer is what they used in the first World Trade Center bomb.
Yep, and this was in Arkansas.
Yes, it was in Arkansas. The truck disappeared, and that's actually easier to make a bomb out of that than it is to use what they used, like what Tim McVeigh used. Because all you have to do is add Drano and water to this stuff. You've got yourself one heck of a boomer.
Okay, and about what area was that in Arkansas? And who handled it? The state police down there?
Yeah, as far as I know, it was the state police. But I was listening to one of the trucking radio stations I listen to constantly about keeping updated on the industry itself. They were talking about this, and I was like, oh, my goodness.
Another story, Julie, that the mainstream media hasn't picked up on, and I'm glad you told us about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, even if the guy didn't use it all in the same time, think of if he split it up, you know. You could have more than one bomb at one time going off someplace.
Well, and as you well know, several years ago, that is one of the things that we've all feared is some of these tanker trucks to get picked up, hijacked for any kind of purpose.
Oh yeah, it's a scary thing. It's made you'd be surprised all the stuff that gets carried. Some of these trucks that you don't even know about.
All right, Julie, thank you for that update. And if you hear anything else within your circles, do call us back and let us know. And you know what? Quite frankly, that's one of the vehicles here on this program. If you do hear something, that's why we have open lines. So make sure you're part of that program. If you need to email me, by the way, that's simple, too. It's george@coast2to, coasttocoastam.com. As a matter of fact, when I come back, Raleigh has sent me an email that I shall read to you about that person's prophetic knowledge about big events. And she believes that it happens all the time. So I'll read that, and we'll continue to take more of your phone calls. Also, at the top of the hour, don't forget, it'll be the Rapture End Times Debate with two experts who will present their particular views, though in some cases they cross paths. They believe in the rapture. It's how we get to it, of course. That's the big thing for them. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Less than 60 to go. I've got 2 days to do it. I need your help. The big push. If you can afford $18 a month, that's 60 cents a day to provide a needy child with food, clothing, health care, and education. 80% of those funds raised go to the child. That's one of the highest for a foundation. 80%. Let's take advantage. My child, by the way, is a little 5-year-old. Go to the coasttocoastam.com website. On the left-hand side, there's a yellow flashing banner. Click that. That'll take you right to Children's International. You can sponsor a child that way or call this toll-free number, 1-800-869-9863. That's 1-800-869-9863. You'll see a letter on the homepage of coasttocoastam.com that I've written if you want to read up a little bit more about this. 2 days, I need 60 sponsorships, so let's roll. And let's go right to open lines right here on Coast to Coast. West of the Rockies, you're up. Hi there.
Hello, George. Hey, it's good to hear you.
You too. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Tacoma, Washington. I am a long-term listener, first-time caller.
Well, good to have you with us.
And first of all, I very much appreciate you taking this radio program.
Well, hey.
I really do.
It's one of those tasks somebody had to do.
Yeah, but you're the one that did it, so thank you.
All right.
Hey, this is important. There's a girl that CPS is taking away from the mother in Texas.
Yes.
She has Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Yep, I just had that story.
And I got exposed to the bioweapons that don't exist in Iraq, and of course my immune system crashed, and I got a lump in my hand, a growing lump. So I went to the doctors at the VA and said, let's remove the lump, and they said, we want to watch it grow. Now, that makes no common sense if you think about it.
We want to watch it grow?
We want to watch it grow. This is on their official diagnosis.
Were you the experiment or what?
Well, I followed the chain of command all the way up to the office of the president. You know, that nobody has responded. So in the meantime, all of these people have come out of the woodwork to include a grant writer and a doctor from the VA hospital. And this is what they told me. They both said the same thing. Part of the hospital funding comes from the university and from other grants funded through universities. And the more cancer patients they have, the more money they get. So if we remove this lump, then I'm no longer a cancer patient. If we don't remove the lump, I remain a cancer patient, and they can get additional funding for me. Now, you and I look at that as convoluted, correct?
You got it.
And this is actually in the diagnosis. The head of orthopedics stated in the diagnosis, we want to watch it grow.
Oh, no. It's time for you to find some other doctor or medical facility.
No. There's a...
You got to do
a tort claim in an attempt to change the VA policy. And that's... If it doesn't...
Well, why don't you get that thing cut off, though, in the meantime? You can still sue, can't you?
That's true. I've been thinking about it. And the reason I haven't done it is because sometimes it's better... There's a lot of soldiers I know who died, and sometimes it's better to sacrifice yourself so the policy of a major hospital system will change.
Well, remember Spock once said, the one is not worth more than the many.
Well, that's true, but
sometimes... Maybe that's what you're saying.
When you put those bars on, your responsibility continues for life. It doesn't end when you take those bars off and resign or retire.
I agree with that.
And sometimes the soldiers who have died underneath you deserve your full faith. I don't know how to put this, except to say sometimes they deserve your effort to change the system that's corrupt. And when the head of the grant writing department and when a doctor who's fairly high on the food chain say, the more cancer patients we have, the more money we get, we do not want to cure
ludicrous cancer
folks because it's based on how much money we can bring in terms of grants, then maybe sometimes, even after you're retired, you need to stand up and make yourself heard, even if they threaten you with loss of life, liberty, and property, which has happened from other people high on the food chain.
You have got to keep us in touch of this battle.
Well, the 1st of October, there will be a, if they don't do anything, the 1st of October, it goes to the U.S. Appeals Court. And if that happens, all of the folks who sold bioweapons to Iraq, to include the board of directors of the Lafarge Company, and we all know who was on the board of directors of the Lafarge Company, Hillary, that will all be brought up in court if it goes to court, and then it becomes a legal issue. Up until now, it's been hearsay and Senate reports and letters, but if it goes to court, then those people become liable for treason.
Have they hinted to you how this might have happened?
You mean how I got the lump?
Yeah.
Well, they said apparently whites get these lumps in their hand they call Dupuytren's contracture. Well, if it is Dupuytren's contracture, A, it's in the wrong spot, and B, it's growing too fast. So
how big is this thing now?
It was when they diagnosed it, it was 4 millimeters. Now it's about, I'd say half the size of a penny. And that's within the last 3 months. So it's growing fairly rapidly.
Well, let me tell you something. That's pretty gutsy. Take care of that first, I think, and then document everything that you're doing. There's no reason why you should have to let this thing. I mean, you could probably get your hand amputated if you keep up with that. Take care of it first and do what you have to do. You can still continue the battle and try to protect yourself, too. Let me move on to some other calls. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. First-time caller line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Do we have a good connection?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. Well, what I'm wondering about is, I listened to the show for a very long time now. I'm calling from Long Island, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, one thing I'm wondering about is, it seems like there's I don't understand what's the big problem with the Patriot Act.
Well, the problem isn't today. The problem's tomorrow. When you start to erode your constitutional rights a little bit at a time, it's going to affect you. You never know who's going to end up in power to be able to take advantage, manipulate, use those kinds of issues. I don't have a problem with them trying to battle terrorism. Believe me.
I kind of feel, though, the whole entire thing is really designed towards, rooting out people that are committing crimes. And I kind of feel perhaps if you're a drug dealer, or maybe if you are committing some sort of crime already, maybe be it blue collar, white collar, whatever. You might have a reason to worry because you might get caught up, and it may be abused in that sense to pull down certain people like that.
Yeah, but what really why change the ability to go and currently right now, if they want to search your home, they've got to go through the legal procedure. They got to get a subpoena. They got to be able to come in and get a search warrant and do what they have to do. Okay. Why change that?
How can you get a subpoena for someone that really isn't doing anything wrong in the first place?
Well, that's I agree with you. My point is they want to circumvent
that. If that's already a premise, but you're talking about circumventing and you're also speculating about something that may happen in the future. You're talking about this is what I gather. I'm a conservative. I wouldn't so much a Republican as I am a conservative, although I do align myself with the Republican Party. What I don't really understand, though, is still, I don't understand, what the big deal is. If you're not doing anything wrong, you really don't have to worry. And, listening to this show, it seems the party that would really be, the person you're concerned about being in power is, the GOP. They're already in power.
No.
We have both the houses. The Democrats, they're trying to own the judicial system. And they're trying to pass legislation through the judicial system because they can't win at the ballot box for their life, it seems like. I don't really understand what the problem is.
Okay. You may not see the big picture today. I guarantee you, you'll see it tomorrow or the next day because as they continue to erode your rights, it's a little bit at a time. It's the old saying about the old frog when you wanted to cook him. You put him in a pot and you don't turn the heat up real hard. He'll jump out. So you just put it on a very slow simmer, and then eventually he's cooked, and he doesn't even know it. That's the same thing in this particular case. Terrorism, whether it's contrived or real, and we're going to talk about that Thursday during our roundtable discussion, because there's a lot of issues surrounding that. The point is that are they using these events in order to whittle our rights? Quite frankly, to give the government the power to come into your home without the legal prudence of how they go in, the jurisprudence of law, is wrong. It's wrong. Wildcard line, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Vicky in Fort Pierce, Florida.
Hi, Vicky. What a sounding horn you have. What's up?
Oh, well, listen, I heard last week on Paul Harvey, I think it was Friday, he was talking about an asteroid that was heading for the Earth, and it was the size of Rhode Island that was supposed to hit in the year 2032 or 35, somewhere around in there. And I hadn't heard it anywhere else, or I haven't heard it since.
There's an asteroid that could come close to the planet around the year 2029, and they continue to change the odds of it hitting us. Right now they say it will not, but you know what? It's so many years away, anything could happen. I'll tell you one thing, it'll get pretty close.
Yeah, it's pretty scary.
Yeah, what's scarier is those are the ones we can see. What about the ones we don't know about, the ones that we report on the air when they tell us that it had already gone by the planet? That's when they see them. It's a little too late for me.
That's true. That's true.
And I'm also more concerned about some of the biblical prophecy about asteroids hitting us in 2012, the Mayan calendar ending. Next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to the show. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, my name's Randy. I'm from Evansville, Indiana.
Hi, Randy.
Yeah, I've been listening to you for some time now, and I've been trying to get a hold of you for, since you've been on. Anyway, that one caller who says he's conservative doesn't have a problem with the Patriot Act, I'll tell you what, I'm so conservative I make Rush Limbaugh look like a FDR New Dealer. Okay?
All right.
I used to be on talk radio myself.
Okay.
Anyway, though, and like you said, I don't have a problem with it myself right now, but if we got another Clinton in there, oh, my God, I shudder to think.
It is a dangerous act to put in the hands of the wrong person.
Oh, you got that straight. Let me ask you, there's also another reason why I called, and don't mind me asking a quick question.
Sure.
Okay, one time, it was some court decision, and this was when you were still covering for Art Bell,
okay,
just before you took over the show.
So we're talking 3-4 years ago.
Something like that. I've been trying to get a hold of you ever since.
All right.
I, this is the first time I've been able to get through. Anyway, there was a decision that went up against the trying to get prayer back in school.
Okay.
And you was under the impression that a constitutionalist would be happy about that. At the time.
No, I think what I said is that a constitutionalist, they were trying to get the prayer back in. A constitutionalist, I believe, would be happy that prayer would not get back in.
No, a constitutionalist wants prayer back in school.
Why?
Okay, first of all, you got to understand something. The First Amendment says it won't abridge religion. Won't make a thing establishing a religion. Well, another thing is, a constitutionalist, if you look back through the Constitution and see what the government is allowed to do and what it's not allowed to do,
mm-hmm,
it's not even supposed to be part of our school system.
Oh, I agree with that, but unfortunately it is in a big way.
You want prayer back in school? I can tell you how to do it. It'll never happen.
How?
Stop taking federal money.
Yeah, but they can't afford to do that.
Well, I tell you what, if some small communities started having homeschooling and private, started funding their own schooling, they probably wind up with better education, because the more money the federal government throws at our school system, the less education they seem to be getting. They'd probably be dollars better off, and our kids would be better educated.
Well, I'll tell you that. Our educational system does need to be revamped. There's no doubt about that. Thanks for the call. East of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, this is Bob. How are you?
Bob, good. Where are you?
I'm in the Panhandle, Florida, heading home to Panama City Beach to hunker down for the storm.
Well, I know. It's just about ready to start these days now, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Well, listen, what I'm calling about is, I know y'all talk about the dark people from time to time, and you believe in angels, right?
I do believe in angels. That is true.
Okay. Well, my grandmother, as far as I can ever remember from being a wee tot, all the way to being 49 years old, she was very religious, Pentecostal, and she raised me that way. But as she got older, her health, started to dwindle away, and we had to put her into hospice. And she had several strokes that just slowly took her away from us, where she couldn't talk anymore. But her final day there in hospice, she couldn't talk or anything, and then all of a sudden she just looked out the window and said, "I see people dressed in black standing outside my window."
Waiting for her.
And so we told her, said, "Grandma, look away, just look away." And then next thing we know, she looked up, she said, "Come sit down beside me." So my brother got up and went over and sat down on the edge of the bed, and she told him, said, no, move over. And she said, "You got to be tired from your long journey." And we believe she was talking to an angel. And then just right after that, she just passed away.
She's in good hands.
Definitely good hands.
That's the good thing. Hey, thanks for the story. Appreciate it. Next up, let's go west of the Rockies. Your turn on Coast to Coast.
Yeah, hello, George.
Hi.
This is Mike. I'm calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Mike.
I've got a pretty good gut instinct. My intuition's pretty good. If something's about to happen to me or, you know, happen in my life, I can sometimes just tell when it's negative or even positive.
Yeah, you got that trigger inside you, don't you?
Yeah, and the thing is that all week now I've been having trouble getting to sleep. I'm lucky if I can sleep 3-4 hours a night, and it's not usual for me.
Wow, what's going on?
Well, I don't know. I've been kind of checking it out. I mean, trying to figure out what it is. I get a pretty good feeling as to what it might be. I mean, when something's about to happen. And I also do rune readings, and they're very good. I mean, I can get them kind of pin things down, asking the right questions. But basically, they've been indicating that I've been looking in the wrong direction. And I got the idea that, I mean, I've been getting the idea that it's not about me, not personal. So then I'm, you know, kind of asking myself, well, what could it be? And then I talked to several people today, ages, I'm 50, but they were ages 19 to as old as 62. They've all been having trouble getting to sleep this week, 3-4 hours maybe. And
now that's funny because I've been getting about 4 to 5, which is almost normal for me, but it's unusual that it would be every day.
So and the same here. And I'm thinking, you know, I was thinking, well, if it's not personal, it could be local, it could be international, I don't know. But I think we've got the feeling something's about to happen.
Well, and, you know, that's been going on for a long time. As a matter of fact, let me read you, Mike, this email that I had mentioned before the break from Rolly. And it said, months ago, I received a prophetic knowledge about a big event that was going to happen. I was right. Unfortunately, no one knows it happened. The only reason I know is because I was raptured, but I messed up. Yes, the rapture has happened. I withhold the date and time of the rapture in hopes that others who know. You don't have to repeat this. Well, I just did. I just wanted you to know that the demonic activity has increased in intensity, meaning the tribulation will start soon. I can't wait for your debate on the rapture. I don't know. A lot of people are beginning to feel that something may be happening. I've got time for one more quick call. I've got about 40 seconds for you. Go ahead.
Okay, George. There's a friendsofscience.org, a gentleman who's a scientist regarding global warming, George. The evidence that I heard him present tonight is simply astonishing.
You like him?
The major greenhouse gas, George, is water vapor. 3% of the constituents of greenhouse gas is carbon dioxide. And it's the tilt and the orbit of the Earth that changes from year to year that, along with the sun's activity, variable sun activity.